is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
Biologists have been tweaking cells for decades, knocking out, adding, editing genes, adding compounds, removing compounds, essentially taking a top-down approach, starting with the living system in all its complexity and tinkering with it to figure out how it all works. Biology is complicated, so it makes sense that scientists have taken this top-down approach, and it's served us well, helping us understand the inner workings of cells and create groundbreaking therapies. But more recently, research groups around the world have begun to take a bottom-up approach. Starting from scratch, their aim is to rebuild living systems with a precise knowledge of the individual components. I wanted to talk to a few scientists on the front lines of this biology engineering, and I started with Dan Fletcher, a professor at UC Berkeley in the US.
The basic idea is that from bottom up, we can work with components that we understand. So this is where the opportunity to design systems in predictable ways comes.
To put it crudely, you're trying to make cells.
We're trying to make systems that behave like cells. I think the idea of a synthetic cell is we're abstracting parts of the cell that we might want to use and seeing if we can build those in controlled ways.
What are the technical challenges of this type of engineering biology? Because cells, I don't know, I've seen them down the microscope, they just look quite simple, simple and small and like little beans. So what's the challenge?
It's much easier to take things apart than to put them back together. And I think one of the biggest barriers is developing technologies that let us reassemble minimal parts of cells into synthetic cell-like structures. And another part of the challenge is to incorporate a genome that can continue to produce proteins and regulate the function of the synthetic system. So it's almost a two-part process.
We'll come back to creating synthetic genomes in a moment. But as far as making the physical cell structure goes, the 3D membranes made of a lipid bilayer, it turns out that making this isn't necessarily that difficult. Here's the University of Minnesota's Kate Adamala explaining how they make these so-called liposomes.
Essentially the same way you make soap bubbles. If you ever played that game where you have dish soap and you have a little loop and you blow into that loop and you end up with a soap bubble, that's how we make liposomes basically. They essentially are soap bubbles.
I just got the most fantastic imagery in my head of how fun your lab must be.
Our bubbles are smaller.
What are the remaining technical challenges to how we create synthetic cell membranes and compartmentalize stuff?
Depending on how do you reconstitute the membrane, what kind of lipids you use, what kind of protein you use, you end up with a membrane with very different properties. But also, we need to not only figure out what kind of composition we need, but how to precisely control that composition using the cell's own metabolism. Because when we're building a cell, we want that cell to be able to eventually self-replicate and self-sustain everything inside it, including the membrane. So, for example, if we decide that we need 14 different lipids at very specific ratios, then we need to find a way for the metabolism of a synthetic cell to make those lipids at those very specific ratios to maintain the composition of the membrane over the life cycle of that synthetic cell.
Kate also told me that to get close to a real-life cell, these membranes would also need to be studied with a complicated array of proteins and sugars that perform a multitude of functions. Also, she said it's surprisingly difficult to program a cell to know how big to grow. In live cells, of course, a lot of these instructions ultimately come from the DNA within the cell, and introducing a genome to a synthetic cell comes with its own challenges. Synthetic genomics could be argued to be more top-down than bottom-up because ultimately they are using genes that exist in nature rather than creating them totally from scratch. But the truth seems to be that it's somewhere in between. Scientists like John Glass at the Craig Venter Institute in the US recently created an organism with what they deemed to be the bare minimum set of genes required for life. Here's John.
In 2016, we produced an organism that its genome encoded only 473 genes. Now, to our astonishment, one-third of those genes We didn't know what they did. And most of those genes are conserved not only in other bacteria, but even in you and me and plants and life all across the planet. So the essential operating system genes, this kernel of life, the functions that cells have to do, there is a whole lot of it that we don't still understand.
What you're basically saying is bottom-up biology, I suppose, is going to have to work hand-in-hand with an element of top-down biology for synthetic genomics.
Sure. Imagine that I have a gene that is absolutely essential, and I don't have any idea what it does. And so if I can take an existing organism and remove that gene and see how it affects that existing organism, now I can incorporate that knowledge into my bottom-up construction of a new genome.
So the synthetic genomicists are essentially kind of you're the mixologists of the synthetic biology world.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Or the computer programmers, the guys who write the code.
So with tools starting to come online for creating synthetic cells and manipulating them to have desired functions, Dan Fletcher, who you heard at the beginning of this piece, thinks it's time the community came together to draw up some shared, achievable goals. Here's Dan.
I think it makes sense to start the grand challenge of rebuilding a cell with a cell or a synthetic cell that could help us in some way. And so I like the idea of focusing on red blood cells or platelets, things even without a nucleus, that if we could produce them synthetically, would have real health implications. We'd be able to provide synthetic blood to people who need it without bleeding people to get it. Having that as a target means that we can both figure out if our skills and our capabilities and our tools and our understanding are sufficient to rebuild a cell, while at the same time trying to reach a goal that could help people.
And looking further afield, I mean, it's perfectly possible that we'll visit Mars in the not too distant future. Do you reckon that synthetic cells will be coming along with us for the ride?
Yes. I'll go out on a limb and say we're going to need them. We're going to need engineered biological systems to help us overcome the challenges of new environments. We're not going to be able to wait for evolution to build the biological systems needed to better exist on Mars. So let's design them.
I'm going to hold you to that. I should be alive in 10, 15 years. I'm only 32.
Good. So. I won't return your call if I'm wrong.
That was Dan Fletcher speaking to Jeff Marsh. You also heard from Kate Adamala and John Glass. This week, Nature has a special issue on bottom-up biology that includes an editorial, a comment piece, a feature article, and loads more on the subject. Find all of that over at go.nature.com/bottomupbiology.